get by. It resides between my eyes. Walked through the fire, came out better on the other side. See, life's like a beach if you find the sand. And right now, I'm feeling like $100,000.
You are listening to Inspired Insider with your host, Dr. Jeremy Wise.
Dr. Jeremy Wise here. I'm founder of InspiredInsider.com, where I talk with inspirational entrepreneurs and leaders like the founders of P90X, Baby Einstein, Atari, now Travis Lee, and many more, and how they overcome big challenges in life and business. Today, we have Travis Lee, who co-founded 3D Mail Results with his dad, Keith Lee, in 2007. 3D Mail has helped over 10,000 business owners increase the response and profit using direct mail. They help direct mail marketers increase their return using clutter-busting 3D mail products and grabbers. I'm actually one of their customers. You can see this right here, if you can see, if you're watching the video. We'll talk about that and some other successful campaigns that Travis recommends. They have a selection of over 600,000 promotional products you can use to make sure customers or prospects never forget about you. Travis, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me today. I'm excited to be on with you guys.
You know, Travis, I go to your site just for inspiration. You know, and I encourage anyone going to the site, you know, 3dmailresults.com, and then there's a products tab there, and it's phenomenal stuff. It'll just get your creative juices flowing. I want to first talk about some of the big direct response marketers. There was many big direct response marketers I've worked with you guys. I was reading Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer, Frank Kern, Alex Mendozian. How's Bill Glazer? Talk about some of their campaigns and what worked for them.
Yeah, well, we've worked with Bill. Really, it's kind of an interesting, it's a great place to start, because without Bill, we probably don't have this business. It's actually a longer story I'll keep relatively brief, but
yeah,
we were
go
in
as
Bill's,
long as you like. Okay, yeah.
We were in Bill's mastermind group.
Yeah.
2005, 2006, 2007 in that range. And my dad, when you'd mentioned that I run this business with my dad, and he had another business at the time, which he has since sold. Mm-hmm. But we had used interesting, unique 3D, what we now call 3D mail. We didn't call it that back then, but we now call it 3D mail.
What were people calling it back then?
Lumpy mail, dimensional mail. Okay. Grabbers, inserts, which
it.
Is still monikers we still use.
Yeah.
But our brand is 3D mail. But,
right.
I was still in high school when he was doing this.
So you in high school went to the Bill Glazer Mastermind. That's pretty advanced.
No, I was fresh out of college, but he had used this same kind of stuff when I was going back to when I was in junior high and high school.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, that business, again, long story short, distribution business, big warehouse full of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what they are, widgets, gidgets, sprockets, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
So we went to one of Bill's mastermind groups thinking, hey, we're using this stuff. People are asking about this kind of stuff. Is it a business? Is it a viable business?
Yeah.
And we went to the mastermind group, which if you're not in a mastermind group, everyone should be.
Yeah,
or at least have some kind of sounding board, because we wouldn't be here if we didn't have this group.
Right.
And this group had seen our marketing over the years and said, well, we can bring this from China and we have domestic suppliers for this product and that product.
Right.
What do you guys think?
Right.
And at Bill's urging and the group's urging, this was November of 2006-ish, I think.
Right.
By that spring, we were in business, a totally new business with 3D Mail. So it's funny you start with Bill, because I don't know if that was coincidence or not, but the whole thing started with Bill and his urging for us to get in this.
So what feedback were you getting in the room? What were people telling you?
You know, it was pretty remarkable. We, like I said, the people there had kind of seen my dad Keith's material. It's been in Dan Kennedy's newsletters. It was in Dan and Bill's teachings for many, many years. Yeah. And we literally could have walked out. We could have walked out that day with orders of people who, sight unseen, were ready to, you know, buy our stuff that we didn't even have products of yet.
So what were they buying? Like, what was the, you know, I guess, what were you proposing to them at the time?
Yeah, so we had used things like little mini trash cans.
Mm-hmm.
We had used things like magic 8-balls. And there's a little story behind the magic 8-ball.
Yeah.
But we'd use a magic 8-ball, shake it up, and it tells your fortune, right?
Yeah.
We had used those types of things.
Yeah.
Fake money, real money, coins, little travel-sized sewing kits to get people to show up to live events. I mean, things like that. And so they had all seen this stuff.
Yeah.
And in the past is we were, when we wanted to do a what we called back then a lumpy mail, which we now call a 3D mail campaign,
right,
we would literally walk up and down aisles of toy stores or novelty stores for inspiration.
Yeah.
All right. So the Magic 8 Ball came from walking down the aisles of a toy store just up the road from here and saying, that's cool. How do we get 10,000 of them?
What were you going to use them for?
We actually used them. We were putting on an event. And this was, I just started working for my dad.
Yeah. So, yeah. Go back up and talk about you working for your dad. You said it goes back. When did you start working for him?
I got out of college in 2005, and that's when I started working with him.
Okay.
So on the pre-call, you and I were talking. I'd mentioned I'd been over at Washington State University, and I was going to school there. And what's interesting is that love my dad. He was in a position to pay for my college, so that was fortunate enough for me. So I was in college, and as my last semester was approaching, we were deciding, hey, do I want to come work with the family business?
Right.
Do I want to go out on my own? And the conversation pretty much stopped there, and he said, Travis, I know you've been in college. I know you're getting a great marketing degree from a great university.
Yeah.
However, this is what's going to happen. I have what's called I have this big box full of stuff from this guy named Dan Kennedy,
right,
and I've got cassette tapes with his magnetic marketing.
Yeah, I remember those.
Product
on it. For sure.
Yep. Yeah. So he actually said, if you want to come work with me, again, great college, great university. I'm sure I'm getting my money's worth. However, this is the marketing that works for us. This
right.
is what we call direct response marketing, lead generation, the three-step sequence, which has now been drilled into me for, 12 years. But that's where it started. He said, great university, great college. Now here's the marketing I really want you to learn. And if this stuff rings a bell with you, then let's talk in a few weeks. And needless to say, it did.
So growing up, what did you want to be?
You know, I always wanted to be in business somehow.
You did. And your dad was running this business when you were young too?
So he took over the business. Let me back up. He became sales manager of the business in 1981.
Mm.
And from 1981 to 1992, in lieu of paying him what the owner couldn't afford, he gave him ownership stake, gave him equity.
That's awesome.
1992 came around. They were at 51-49. After a couple of years of back and forth, can you buy me out, 1994 hits, and my dad Keith says, yes, now I can buy you out. So that buyout process went for 18 to 24 months, I forget exactly which now. And then he eventually took over the business. So I had grown up, if anyone here is familiar with Dan Kennedy's three-step magnetic marketing message, it's letter number one goes out, you wait a week. Letter two goes out, you wait a week. Letter three goes out, you wait a week. That's magnetic marketing in a nutshell.
101. So magnetic marketing 101.
You got it. And so in order to earn money for, to travel on traveling sports teams or gas money or movie money, I would literally stuff envelopes and seal them and stick postage stamps on them. And that's how I earned money to do the things I wanted to do as a teenager. So even though I didn't know Dan Kennedy, I'd been like doing Dan Kennedy stuff since I was about 10 or 11 years old. I'd been immersed with the direct response, get a lead, convert a lead, move a lead up the ladder my whole life without knowing it until I had, gotten out of college and found marketing that works for small businesses.
right. So I know you have kids. When do you start them teaching them direct response marketing?
Not quite yet. My oldest turned 6 in just a couple of days. We're recording this in the very late January. His birthday is
never too young, right, Travis?
I will give him credit. About the time he turned 4 years old, he came to me and said, actually he came to his mom, but the mom reported it back to me, said, Mom, I want to start earning some money.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's start making a list of the things you can do around the house to earn some money because you ain't just getting money for breathing. So we talk about that kind of stuff. We've talked about my wife did a garage sale to get rid of all these extra kids' clothes. Now that we're done having kids, we've got a whole closet full of kids' clothes. He set up a little lemonade stand. He made himself $3 or $4 that day, selling 25-cent, per cup lemonade. So I don't know if he's totally bit by it, but I know he does. He loves his Legos. So I do know that he really, making an extra $3 or $4 here and there is a big deal in his world right now.
For sure. So you start working with your dad, and you're going from toy store to toy store?
Yes. In fact.
So, yeah.
one of the very first duties, same thing we were doing with the Magic 8 Ball. We were doing a little puzzle piece mailer. And brief background on the puzzle piece mailer. What you do is, if you want people to come to anything, you just want them to show up. It doesn't matter if you've got a restaurant, doesn't matter if you've got a retail store, doesn't matter if you're doing a live event with speakers in a, you know, 3-day, you know, boot camp type of deal. We want them to show up. So what we do is you mail out these puzzle pieces, and then at wherever the event is, again, whether it's your insurance agent, your restaurant, whatever, you have this puzzle set up, and what you have done is you have 4 or 5 pieces missing from this puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm.
If their piece finishes that puzzle piece, you know, is one of the fill in the blanks, they win a prize.
Okay.
And, you know, we did, for this live event, it was worth it. So we did, you know, TVs before you could get, you know, a big TV for nothing, right? We did.
Really?
I mean, this
was. So what was the event?
This was a retail success expo. So we wanted all of our, well, in a perfect world, we wanted all of our retail clients, because that was who we served. We sold to small and medium-sized independent retailers. So mom and pa on Main Street with a kite shop out at the coast, you know, the independent sporting goods store, the independent pet store. That's who we serviced.
Yeah.
And we were putting on an event with speakers and vendors and the whole nine yards. And we wanted them to come to this thing. And so one of the things that we did, one, in order to encourage people who hadn't registered to come, we sent these puzzle pieces out. They registered. They brought their puzzle piece in. If it completed the puzzle, they got you know, a prize.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the people who had already signed up, just because people say they're going to come doesn't mean they're going to come.
Right, right.
So you need to have things in place to make sure they show up. And so one of my very first duties was, we got, this was again 2005-ish, right? So Google wasn't quite what it is now. But we, in any case, printed off a map with all the little pin needles of where the dollar stores are in, I think, a 25-mile radius.
Right.
And I had to go to each dollar store until I found 25,000 puzzle pieces.
Wow.
And it didn't matter if that was 25,000-piece puzzles or 2,500 100-piece puzzles. Whatever. We had to get 25,000 puzzle pieces because that's what we were going to mail out to these people to get them to come to this event. And that was my very first duty. So I had to go to, I think I ended up at 3 or 4 different dollar stores before we found the right size, the right combination of size and, you know, price, and you know, so it took me a better part of an afternoon, but that's how we were finding this stuff, literally walking up and down aisles of toy stores and novelty stores and overstock, you know, it would be overstock type places. So,
right. So what were some of the outrageous prizes you guys offered at the time? TVs, what else worked?
We did, so this was 2006, fall of 2006. So we did TVs.
Yeah.
We did, I believe, travel vouchers. Well, I know we did travel vouchers. I think we did 3- and 5-day cruise travel vouchers.
Cruises, okay.
We did. And then so that was some of the bigger prize stuff, if you will. And then, of course, we had vendor-related stuff. So if a vendor would donate $200 towards free whatever, or we do a lot of, for that business at the time, and still do, this business still does, a lot of customized imprinting on bags for the retail store shops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those typically have setup fees. So we would, you know, we gave away setup fees for their bags. I mean, so really whatever the vendors were willing to give, and then we spiced it up with completely non-related stuff, like I said, TVs and trips and, you know, I think iPods or, you know, little MP3 players were just now all the rage, whether it was an iPod or not, I don't remember, but they were, you know, like I said,
I had a
when I learned magnetic marketing. So right after my dad told me he was sending me those tapes I just told you about 10 or 15 minutes ago, the next call was to hang up the phone, call mom at home and say, hey, I've got a tape deck somewhere in my old bedroom. Can you send that to me? So that's how I listened. That was my first exposure to direct response marketing, was in a college dorm room, well, I guess my apartment at the time, on a old Sony Walkman tape deck.
Yeah. Were you receptive to him saying that, or did you push back on that? Because I could see a new grad college is like, you know, I don't know. How were you listening to your dad and saying this is what really works?
No, I mean, I like I said, I had known this kind
Just remember, I do interview him at some point, so I'm going to ask him. He'll be like, oh, God, he resisted me the whole way through.
No, actually, I said, yeah, sure, let's do it. I was open to new things. I had seen the Kennedy stuff. I mean, I knew that he was doing different stuff to begin with. I mean, it was, you know, about the time I was old enough to realize that, you know, I think I was 10 or 11 at the time, give or take. Like, hey, so why don't we advertise on TV, Dad? That seems like a great place to see people.
Right.
Well, this is why we don't advertise on TV, Travis. We're business to business. They don't – well, at the time they didn't. Maybe now we should investigate it. Maybe we should be on some sort of HGTV channel or something. I don't know. But at the time there was only, you know, the four or five network channels and, you know, maybe 30 cable channels at the most. But but anyway, you know, he explained to me, well, that's the kind of advertising we do. And so we had conversations like that my whole childhood growing up.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I he was successful, so I wasn't going to argue with success,
even though
he was my own father. Exactly.
Right. The proof is it works. Yeah.
Exactly. I wasn't that young, dumb, and naive think, okay, something else is paying the bills. No,
Fair enough.
It was this stuff.
So what did you do with the Magic 8-Balls?
So that was the same event. Most of the marketing we've done is for these events that we've done.
Okay.
Frankly, there's to send out a Magic 8-Ball costs, I think at the time, $7, $8, $9, $10 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have some back end volume to that. So selling a seat to a boot camp, and then all the back end that comes with those things.
Yeah.
You know, there's speaker sales, and then there's, you know, all the good stuff. So what we had done is in 2004, before I had came to work with my father, he had an event, very, very similar boot camp, big event, the whole nine yards, mm-hmm. 800 or 900 people there. 2 years later, we were having another one. And what we had found out is that, you know, this is a great thing about getting on the phone and actually talking to your clients every now and then.
Right.
Is the biggest thing we had uncovered without knowing it was, well, you just had one 2 years ago or whatever the time. I think it was 2 years ago, 18 months, whatever the time frame was.
That's too
soon?
You
had just had one.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So these were – that's what we thought too. We again, we never would have thought of this because – it's been 18 months. What do you mean it's too soon? But in their mind, it was too soon, mm-hmm. and there was the perception that there was the same lineup of speakers.
I got you.
And in actuality, there wasn't. There was 8 all-new speakers, thus the Magic 8-Ball. So mm-hmm. we had 8 new speakers coming at the 2006 Retail Success Expo, which I believe is what we called it now.
Yeah.
And that was the shtick, if you will. That was the mm-hmm. story behind the Magic 8-Ball, which... Mm-hmm. You know, as we talk about 3D mail, that's kind of the thing you got to kind of think about. And really just direct mail in general. You can't go out there with a ho-hum offer. Have a reason for getting in front of your clients. Have a, you know, and preferably a creative, fun, make them chuckle, make them snicker, make them have a little bit of, you know. Like
have
said,
some fun with it. Don't be too serious.
You got it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So how did Bill Glazer use – so I guess you come out of that, so you're selling to retailers, and then through the mastermind, then you start selling more to marketers who are using it for their customers?
Yeah, so we sell to a couple different people. We sell to I guess you would call it the end user, the chiropractor who wants to get more patients, the auto repair shop who needs to increase his car count,
mm-hmm.
The coach or consultant who wants to put people into a coaching group or put them into a room or put them onto a teleseminar or a webinar. Yeah. So we sell to those people. Then we also sell to what I would call, you know, core of influence type people. So other mail houses, right? Other coaches and consultants who are, you know, if they're doing done-for-you type stuff, they're doing the copywriting or they're doing the marketing for the person, we sell it through them or they refer to us.
Yeah.
You know, so those are really our two big – we have the end user who is probably 80% of our business, you know, the actual business owner, coach, whomever, marketing director in some cases, but usually the business owner. And then about 20% of the time it's other mail houses, other print shops, other coaches and consultants who are – encouraging or straight up telling them to use our stuff.
Right. I mean, because I want to talk about this because there's several things here, right? It's not just the products, but there's copy involved and there's follow-up involved. And all three of those, you know, just the product is not going to make the campaign. So could you talk about, I don't know which would be the best example, out of those big direct response marketers who obviously know copy, can you walk us through what worked for them, whether it's Dan Kennedy or Bill Glazer or Frank Kern or Alex Mendozian? Who would be the best to talk about what they did and actually used the 3D mail results.
Yeah. Well, so we, as you very likely know, and which is why we thought it was a shock that 2 years later there was an issue with too soon with our previous example of our own business. Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer, when they were business partners and still now that, that Bill has sold out his stake, put on two big, massive annual user conferences, for lack of a better way to describe it.
Right.
One in the fall, one in the spring.
Right.
And one of the things that they're geniuses at is to theme these events. And so they have a Wild West theme. They have a gold theme. They have a magic theme. And you know, any type of theme you can – they have circus themes I've seen. And so they do this for a couple of different reasons. One, people are just kind of drawn to these themes. They like them. They like the idea of if they're going to go to a conference in Denver, there's going to be cowboy hats and boots. They like the idea if the guest speaker is going to be Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller that there's, you know, magic eight balls and, you know, rabbits coming out of the hats and that kind of stuff. Well, that's all well and good, and that's they do that for that reason. The biggest reason they theme their stuff is because it makes writing the copy so much easier, right? It makes thinking of these creative things to send so much easier. So if you have a Western theme and you send, you know, a keychain with a pair of boots on them, you know, a pair of cowboy boots, or 1 year they sent, they actually sent real bullets in the mail. Maybe you got that one, but a real, I'm not a gun guy, but a real big bullet that would be shoot out of something big. Right? So they sent those. And so I guess the answer
what did they put on it? Did they put anything on the bullet? Or
so the bullet was just your typical metal casing bullet.
Okay.
But what they did is they rolled up, they put it inside a mailing tube, and then they created, very, very cool, they created a wanted poster.
Okay.
And it had a silhouette of the picture. You know, they didn't have pictures of all of us. I mean, if they did have pictures of all of us, they could have put our picture in there. But that's probably taken a little too far for 5,000, 10,000.
Right, right. Individual pictures.
You're selling one off, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but so they created this wanted poster, you know, said wanted, Travis Lee, dead or alive, preferably alive, and I forget the year now. The year's inconsequential.
Right.
The 2012 Great Western Super Conference being held in, you know, in the great state of Texas or something like that.
That's
and they
awesome.
Had this burnt, you know, made to look like burnt
it
edges.
Looks
and
it looks like authentic.
Exactly. And so they do that. So that was one example they did. One time they sent, just recently they sent, they had Penn Jillette of Penn & Teller, magic guy, right?
Yeah.
They sent little pair of handcuffs, you know, escape from the boredom, escape from the everyday, come here, learn how to do the magic trick.
Right.
And then they followed that up with a little abracadabra magic stick, you know, a little black and white thing that, you know, you'd see, you know, cheap magicians use on the street in Vegas or something, right?
So
I guess to answer your question is the ones that are doing it the best are typically finding some sort of shtick, finding some sort of thing that they can...
Right.
They can wrap their business around. So,
right. Yeah.
So what would be so how do we take what Dan does or what Bill does, big, huge company they put on, how do we take that and maybe use it for, oh, let's say the B2B sales guy and he's got to go out and get appointments and sell stuff. And I'm sitting here, I'm looking at our big color copy machine here that we have here in our back office right now. So if I'm selling B2B and I'm selling big color copy machines to, you know, businesses doing $5 million a year, let's just pick a number out of the air.
Yeah.
Well, what can I tell these people? What can I do? Well, I can save them money possibly. So I can maybe send them a bank bag. So a real vinyl zipper bank bag. Maybe I send them a little bag of shredded money if they're using outdated equipment to illustrate how their outdated equipment is actually costing them money versus investing in new equipment. All right, so that's one thing I could do. What else do I do? Well, I solve problems. I solve headaches. I relieve stress. So maybe I could get a little pill bottle. And I'm talking when you go to your pharmacist and you get that little red and reddish orangish pill bottle.
With it's authentic cap, pill bottle, yeah.
You got it. So I'm going to send this guy a pill bottle because I got the prescription for blank, whatever that may be. And so that's how, you know, that's kind of how we put a wrapper around it. We sit back and we think, what's our main story here? What's the biggest upside to the recipient of this piece of mail?
Right.
And then how do we visualize that or conceptualize that in a something that can go easily through the mail. Right, that's kind of how we started.
Right. Yeah, you think about what the big pain point is of the client, and probably a lot of it deals around stress or money. And like my wife used your direct mail, 3D mail, and used the stress cards. And like got a huge return on that, actually. So it's, you know, people open it. And that's the other thing. It actually sticks out from what all the other stuff that people are doing or receiving.
No, you're exactly right. And that's, you know, it's the whole curiosity killed the cat thing. So if you can imagine something showing up with an envelope with something inside that's obviously not in traditional paper.
Right.
For example, we've used little brains, and these are like little little toy brains. Little toy brains that you would use
the
for a children's
brains, I think.
A little toy you'd use for a children's Halloween party, right?
Yeah.
And size of a half dollar, silver dollar, something like that. And so, you know, you put something like that inside of an envelope. You put a boomerang because you want them back because you're going after lost clients or patients, right?
Yeah.
We want you back. We haven't seen you in a while. You know, the curiosity level of what's inside gets to them. And, you know, this isn't a direct mail only problem. It's a marketing and advertising problem. And that is just getting any message.
Right.
Open, read, heard, or listened to. Doesn't matter if
It's like the ultimate headline, right? The headline, you just get them to read it. Well, if you send them this amazing piece of direct response marketing and they never open it, then it's lost.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And
that goes broader with all kinds of marketing too. I mean, if they don't watch your TV ad, you can't sell. If they don't listen to your radio ad, you can't sell. If they don't read your billboard, they can't sell. If they don't open your direct mail, you can't sell.
Why do you think more people, Travis, don't use this? 3D mail could be any bulky mail, you know, sending a package to someone, sending one a year, you know, something from your site. What is the objections you get from people?
So kind of in no particular order, lack of creativity, just, you know, the whole slap your forehead and say, boy, I never thought of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, lack of creativity, lack of exposure to this kind of stuff.
I mean, once they do hear about it, they're like, what do you get objections to why people don't want to use it or don't think they should use it?
Yeah, we occasionally do. The next one would probably be, well, that's not professional enough, .. I sell to fill in the blank, which, quite frankly, we find more or less to be bogus. I mean, there may be some places where I wouldn't send a pill bottle, for example, to a certain group of clients, or I may not send a bank bag, or I may not send a boomerang. But in more cases than not, that kind of stuff works really, really well.
Yeah.
Oftentimes the cost is one, and that's not something to just, you know, I'm not here to, cost is real, and these things do cost more than traditional direct mail.
Right.
However, what we find is that the response increase and thus the return increase warrant it.
Right.
It's why we always encourage people to test small to start off with.
Right.
You know, now you don't need to test necessarily small if you've got a track record of similar stuff that works. So, for example, you know, when we work with Dan and Bill and they're putting on a big event, they know to a certain degree, because they've been doing it so long, that if we send out X piece
they know
at
the
X
response
cost,
rate.
We can expect a reasonable, we can expect something between A and B to happen, right? They've got, they've done it that long.
Were they, sending the wanted posters to potential prospects who are going to come to the conference?
So, yes. So this went to people who were not yet registered for the conference.
Okay.
Now, I don't know the exact inner workings of how each mail piece goes out.
Yeah.
However, I can tell you that each mail piece that goes out to you doesn't necessarily go out to me, doesn't necessarily go out to the other guy, and you may get the wanted poster with the bullet. I may only get a postcard that's made to look like a wanted poster, right? And
they have different tracks for different prospects.
That's the big thing with direct mail.
Yeah, so talk about that strategy, because probably that's more sophisticated. Most people are probably just sending everything to, you know, to one group.
Exactly, and it's easier when it's your own client list, right? Yeah. So whether it's your people who have bought products A, B, C, and D, whether they've attended, you know, event A, B, C, D, whether they're just a what I call a suspect on my list. So yeah, they got my free stuff but haven't done anything. Those people get marketed to differently. At least they should get marketed to differently.
Right.
You know, so I'll give you an example from our business.
Yeah.
When you come in, when we do big, broad, cast a wide net to get leads, right? And we do it all kinds of different ways. But then we get the lead to come in. They come request some lead magnet from us, from some sort of freebie from us.
So let's, for example, the book, right? Yeah, I actually personally have the book. It's very valuable. So I'll 3dmailresults.com/ I think it's book.
Yep.
If people want to check it out,
yeah, 3dmailresults.com/book. You got it.
Yeah.
And so now,
so what is the book? Yeah, I mean, I guess go into that, but what's in the book?
Oh, so the book's really cool. So we've got, it has your typical catalog information. So it has our 3D mail products and pricing and, you know, the stuff that you need to, you know, so you can make a decision, right? So based and do some budgeting. What's the most valuable portion of it, at least what my clients tell me, is that we also include headline ideas, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I was rattling off those headlines, you know, 8 new amazing speakers, or we want you back for a boomerang, or your headache, you know, we'll cure your headache for ... So we put a whole bunch of, we put the taglines, we put the headlines in there for you. And then we also include a CD that has about 30 different sample sales letters, completely copyright free. That's copyright free, not the other kind of copyright we've been talking about. So they're copyright free. So they're letters that we wrote. We put copyright free stamps on them, and you can tweak them and edit them however you want.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, so that's it in a nutshell. And so,
what are some of your favorite headlines of all time?
Well, it's a good question. The short answer is my favorite headline is the one that works.
Right.
But that's the obvious answer. It really depends. Because – and it's a similar question to what's your favorite 3D mail piece? And when I'm deciding – so first off, I let my the combination of whatever the big pain point is we're solving, that's going to be wrapped around my headline to begin with.
Right.
And then number two, I'm going to work into it whatever 3D mail piece I'm sending.
Yeah.
So the great headlines. So that's how I create the headline. What's the pain point? How do we bring it up right away in as few as words as possible? Now, I'm not saying you can only have I'm not dogmatic. Like, you can only have a 5-word headline.
That's not it.
But how do we get to the pain point, and or let them see the light, if you will, in as few words as possible, and then illustrate that with the piece? So that's kind of how I create the headline. How do I think of the piece, though, is the next question.
Mm-hmm.
And now that becomes a couple different things. What is my value of a new client? So, for example, if I'm selling even a nice steak dinner, I probably can't send out pill bottles or trash cans or bank bags that are going to cost me $5 to $7 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make the ROI work on the front end for sure, and I may not ever make it work. However, if I'm selling... So let's use the same restaurant example. Maybe now I'm selling corporate catering in a business park setting. So I'm in a business park in Seattle, and there's 52 different businesses right around my shop.
Yeah.
And I want to get them to, I want to do their sales meetings, and I want to do their,
much,
you know, their
bigger
corporate
ticket
yeah.
item.
So now I can probably make that bank bag work, sending it to those 52 HR directors in the business park around me, knowing that if I get one of these people to hire me once, I've probably made up that money. I'm probably even on the front end, give or take the math, right?
Right.
It depends on your price point. But compared to a $50 steak dinner, you know, a $2,500 catering event or whatever the price point is, I can send out a lot of $5 bank bags.
Right.
I can't send out a lot of $5 bank bags for a $50 steak dinner.
So that's
kind of the, you know, the real basic 101 of how do I choose a piece? How do I choose a headline? I let kind of my lifetime value and my transaction value dictate it. So I'll give you a great example of people who do very well with us.
Yeah.
In the consumer world, we do very well with mortgage brokers. We do very well with real estate agents. Mm. We do very well with chiropractors, dentists. All of those things have something in common that's either a high transaction value or a reasonably high and long lifetime value in the case of a dentist or a chiropractor and those types of things. Same in the B2B world, right? Is it Trains, Planes, and Automobiles where he's selling shower curtain rods or shower curtain hooks? You're going to have to sell a lot of shower curtain rods, shower curtain hooks to make 3D mail work for you if you're going to send out a piece that's $5 or $10 or $15.
Yeah.
Again, if I'm selling a lease on a new printer and the lease is worth $500 a month to me as the business owner, I can send out a lot of $5 pieces before I can before I start losing money. So,
what's a campaign that worked, let's say, for a dentist or one of those? Can you run us through one of those examples that's really worked?
So, in the dentist world, now this works. I'll give you two.
Yeah.
First one works for a dentist. It works. I don't care what business you're in.
Yeah.
Actually, I take it back. I was stumped one time when I said, "Can anyone think of a business where a lost client reactivation campaign won't work?"
Right.
So briefly, lost client, lost patient, people did business with you. There's been a set amount of time where they should have come back and done business with you, and now they're not. So a dentist is a perfect example of this. We have it built in, right? 6 to 12 months, you go see your dentist. It's built in for us. Auto repair shop, 3 to 5,000 miles or 3 to 6 months. It's built in for us.
Right.
So it works for any business. So we send out these So I was challenged to think of a bit. Business that doesn't have a lost client problem. And he said a cemetery or a morgue. So yes, until we can conjure up the dead in a...
You don't want to send a direct mail to like their spouse and say, "Are you dead yet?" or something like that.
So
that would not be good.
So that one time he got me. So I now give credit where credit is due.
Okay.
Yes, if you're a mortician, besides that, a cemetery, a lost client campaign can work in just about any business because we, no matter how perfect we are with our business, we all have clients that slip through the cracks for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They found a new breakfast diner if they're a breakfast goer. They found a new dentist. They moved, whatever.
Right.
Well, we can get some percentage of those people back with a lost client or a lost patient campaign. And what this one is we typically send out, a boomerang first because we want you back. The boomerangs, I don't know why. We've tested them against other pieces that we have that we stock and we offer. The boomerang consistently works better than all the other pieces for the very first touch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why, don't care why. We just know that it does, so we do it.
And people can use the copy, like you have some copywritten campaigns. Do people typically use those with the boomerang or do they write their own?
Yep, so it's usually a combination of the both.
Yeah.
So we have some letters in that free book, 3dmailresults.com/book.
Yeah.
Start talking too fast. And then we also have a suite of letters available. If anyone's interested, it's 3dmailsuccess.com.
Yeah.
And that's essentially a big swipe file for sales letters.
Right.
And we've got over 240 of them in there. Again, 3dmailsuccess.com. And so in many cases, we may not be writing – well, in most cases, we're not writing the letter for them, but they're using our swipe file as inspiration, which is what they
should
do.
Much easier than starting from scratch.
Well, and nobody should be writing almost anything from scratch. I mean, even if you're a brand new – pick your business. Doesn't matter. Even if you're brand new – go look and see what other people in your industry are doing.
Yeah.
And like at the very least, find the cool stuff and find the ones people that are doing direct response.
Yeah.
And ethically, not unethically, but ethically be inspired by what they're doing.
Right.
So if you're at a dentist and you're just getting started, go three towns over and look what the best dentist in three towns over is doing.
Right.
Or, better yet, if you're a dentist, go look and see what a chiropractor is doing or go see what a typically really
different
anything
industry.
Other than a dentist.
Yeah. Yeah.
exactly.
So you were saying, so the boomerang works first for some reason. You've just tested it. Yeah.
Yep. So we do, you typically send a boomerang.
And then back up for 1 second. So do you recommend a certain, and it's probably different for different industries, but like do you go to reactivate, okay, it's been 6 months since they left, been in a year, 2 years. Is there a sweet spot that you found that works better, let's say, with a dentist office or something like that?
Yeah, it really is industry to industry.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about auto repair shops and dentists. Those have, they're just built in, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do, and this because think about it. If I'm, to use some of the examples we used, if I'm a lunchtime diner, well, and you come in every week, well, you're lost the second week you don't come in. right? If you come in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. for breakfast, and it's Wednesday at 9:05, where are you? Yeah, you're lost, right? So I mean, that's
give them a
that's
call.
Like, that's like one you? Extreme yeah. version.
Yeah.
The other extreme version is the mortgage broker, who I think it's the average person. And I don't know the there's going to be mortgage brokers on listening now yelling the right number at me, but it's somewhere between every 6 to 10 years you either refinance or buy a new home.
Right.
Something
right.
Like that. Right. Well, so that's a big drastic difference between 1 week for the diner and 6 to 10 years for the mortgage broker. So
just look at the typical frequency of your customer.
Got it.
Okay.
That's it. So I look at the frequency and say, you know, if I'm the dentist in month 7, they're lost because they should have come by month 6, month 7, they're lost. Let's do something to get them back.
Yeah. So the boomerangs first and then
boomerangs first. Mm-hmm. Then we typically do some sort of non-3D mail thing. Maybe a postcard with a picture of the boomerang and a kangaroo and an aborigine or something on there, right? So it's kind of just we play the whole theme. We talked about it at the very beginning. But we want this person to think when Dr. whomever is sending this stuff, we like are identified by that stuff. So it's branding, but branding as a happy byproduct of the direct response that we're doing.
Yeah, you're almost telling a story with your direct response, yeah.
And then maybe we drip in an email in between those two pieces. And then maybe we send out a little compass because, hey, you've lost your way to Dr. So-and-so's office and, you know, we haven't seen you. And then we maybe, you know, and what we'll typically do is we'll keep adding steps. You know, we typically don't want to go any more than, say, 6 to 8 weeks out on any campaign. So if you're mailing every 2 weeks, you probably got about a 3 or 4 step sequence in which you can live in. But if you do steps 1 and steps 2, you're leaving money on the table if you don't do a step 3.
Right.
If you do a step 1 and you don't do a step 2, again, and step 1 was good, you're leaving money on the table by not doing a step 2 and a step 3.
Right.
You know, so that was the great one. And then so the other one I told you that works really good for dentists is, and this, again, this anybody who has a brick and mortar or local business, you need to be looking at new movers into your area.
Mm-hmm.
So these are lists. My business can get them for you, but we're not like unique in this regard. Anybody can get a list of people who have moved that meet your demographic and geographic needs.
Mm.
So let's say, we've used dentist a lot. Let's use something else. Let's use a
chiropractor.
There we go. Let's use a chiropractor. Yeah. So now we can get a list of people. Now I would get a list of people between the ages of 55 and 75 who moved into a certain geographic area and make X amount of and have a household income. Household income may not be as valuable for these people because many of them may be retired, so their income may be zilch, nada, but their net worth is very, very high. So maybe we use net worth instead of income in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to – what we're looking for essentially is an affluent man who throws his back out playing golf, and now we want him to come in and get fixed. That's essentially – you know, that's if we were to build an avatar, that's who we would want.
Right.
So we can get a list of new movers into an area. And then – what we typically do is we typically go back in that 30 to 90 day move-in. So if they moved in February 1, we're not necessarily going to mail them the month of February. They got all kinds of stuff going on. They still got boxes to empty. The garage is still full of stuff.
Right.
You know, they're still trying to get their mother-in-law the right address.
Or not.
Or not. Yeah, exactly. So in that, it's in that kind of 31 to 90 day window is when we'll start sending them direct mail pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about it is you can really define your – that's what's great about direct mail is that you can define your person via a mailing list way more targeted than you could ever do it with TV or radio or even Google AdWords, right? I mean there's just – we just know so much more about them on a mailing list that if you can get a good mailing, and that we could do, I mean, we could do a 3-day class on mailing lists. But the long and the short of it is, if you can define who your person is and really narrow them down, you can go get that list. And then so now we can get that list on a grand scale, or we can just get that list of the people who moved in Q1 2015, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we can do. And to take that mailing list thing a step farther, if you don't know who your exact avatar is, if you don't know, we can actually do a thing called regression analysis, which is where you give us, in the case of this chiropractor, give us your patient list. We'll run a whole bunch of statistical analysis against it and say, your person, you know, give us your list of your A clients, and you got 1,500 of them. Your best clients fall in this bell curve in age, and this bell curve in income, and this bell curve in post-secondary
how
education.
How close they are to you.
And they, and they read these books, and they donate to these kinds of causes.
Hmm.
Well, once you know all those data points, you can go plug those exact same things into a mailing list search engine and get that exact same person.
Yeah.
You know, so the mailing list is powerful. There's a reason radio and TV are called broadcast. You broadly cast your message.
Your dad would roll over. Yeah,
exactly. Direct mail is the complete opposite.
So, okay. So you get the mailing list, you formulate your perfect avatar, right? And then, so where do you start with the 3D mail?
So again, it would kind of depend on the business a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the chiropractic following
that. Yeah, so for the chiropractor, first off, I'm probably not going to use things like a bank bag or a pill bottle that's going to cost me $3, $4, $5 a piece right off the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to use less expensive things. So we have little magnifying glasses. Little toy ones. I mean, they work, but you could never burn an ant with them, right? So, I mean, so you've got these little toy magnifying glasses. Maybe you send that out. It's attached to the upper right-hand letter of the right-hand. So let's use a new mover example. So attach the little magnifying glass to the upper right-hand letter, upper right-hand corner of the letter. Headlines read something along the lines of, when was the last time you took a good hard look at your health? ... Dear Betty, I see that you're new to the neighborhood, and you know you may or may not know this, but a lot of Crestwood Valley residents use Dr. Grin, or who I don't even know. We're kind of making this up as I go.
But, right? No, it's good. I like it. Keep going.
A lot of people in the Crestwood Forest Valley use Dr. Weitz's as a great source to actually get themselves healthy and vibrant again. And as a new member to the neighborhood, we want you to come in for a $39 back thing. And then addition to that, we'll give you a free massage with our licensed massage practitioner who's right next door here. And oh, by the way, you got to do this by X date.
Right.
That would be a very basic, very, very easy to implement new mover campaign that you could put 3D mail with.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And now you use the less expensive stuff to get them in the door. Now, that's not to say that, like, you know, it's necessarily I'm, like, trying to be cheap.
No.
But generally speaking, less expensive stuff to get them in the door. Now what? So that's kind of always the next thing is, you know, Dan Kennedy and Bill Glazer always teach you've got to make an irresistible offer, right to get somebody in the door.
Yeah.
Well, an irresistible offer is only as good as what you do after they take advantage of that irresistible offer. Because, you know, in my example there, the chiropractor not making any money on a $39 office visit. He's just not. So you either need to have systems in place, in his case, in the office to convert them,
right?
Have a great sales process, a great, you know, the whole nine yards, preferably, a great marketing sequence to follow up with them to convert them to convert them from a looky-loo who came in essentially for the great deal. How do we convert them now into this case, a long-term patient who then hopefully refers other people? Yeah. So that's how you have to think about this stuff. It's all great on the front end, but what do you do once you get them? That's the next step. That's the next thing you got to consider.
So yeah, I love that, Travis. I like the copy off the top of your head. That's good. What do you recommend as far as follow-up for that new person? Do you recommend just sending out one to the new movers and then only people to respond? Do you recommend doing a follow-up for that person who's never been to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a similar answer to my lost client example where I said, if you sent one and it worked for you, you're leaving money on the table to not send two.
So you see the same response.
Money. Yeah, so I let – now that's not to say – because this happens. It happens to the very best of them. That's not to say, okay, you sent out one piece of direct mail. It didn't work like we wanted it to. Let's throw our hands up in the air and let's not do this anymore.
Right.
The whole idea is to test these things.
Right.
You know, so like that's like I said, test small to begin with.
Yeah.
I was talking to a client just the other day, he said, I've got a 5,000 person mailing list I want to mail to. And I said, well, why do we have to mail to all 5,000? He said, because I didn't, it didn't dawn on me that we didn't have to mail to all 5,000. Okay, so let's look at it this way. We either have 5 different tests of 1,000. Right. We have 50 different tests of 100. He was selling this was a guy basically business loans to the other business owners. So, okay. I mean, this is a five-figure
really
transaction for him.
Yeah.
Right? So there's – let's not worry about sending 5,000 pieces one time and a postcard.
Right.
Where that's you who's going to buy a $10,000 thing?
Upper,
exactly.
Yeah. Like a silver, you have a silver platter option or one of those type of things. Yeah,
you got it. So let's now look at this instead of a list of 5,000. Let's look at it as 50 tests of 100. If my math is right, I think that's right. Yeah.
Yes, you got it.
I can do ROI math and I can do business math, like as Dan Kennedy likes to say, but. But anyway,
so, yeah.
I let my results dictate to a certain degree. Now, if you know, I've got a guy. I don't know why I didn't think of him when we did the New Mover campaign. He owns a vitamin shop and a healthy food store in a little tiny town in Central Oregon.
Cool.
The
okay.
first time he did it,
what did he send?
The first time he did it, he did a little one-page letter in like a 6x9 envelope, basically inviting them into the store and the restaurant. They have half the store is vitamins and minerals and that kind of stuff. The other half is, you know, fresh organic food, sandwiches, sandwich shop, you know, smoothies, that kind of stuff.
Sounds good.
And it did okay. Well, so then the next time we amped it up a little bit. We actually used one of our express mail envelopes, which you can see at the website.
Yeah.
Basically, it's made to look like a FedEx, but it ain't a FedEx.
It's very official.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we upped the ante with that. Just dolled up the letter a little bit, put that in. Oh, okay, we got a few more responses. Okay, this is working good.
What was he offering? Do you remember?
So he offers a couple of different things. It was I think it was – it's gone through a couple iterations now. I think it was – $20 off any $50 purchase.
Okay.
So 40% off, I guess, right? I think is what it was, or something like that.
Yeah.
And a free small smoothie because he wanted he wanted him to get them in for the restaurant side of things and for the retail store side of things.
Got it.
So then that did better when we put it in the big express envelope and added a little more to the letter.
And well, did he get a list? How did he get the list? Did you help him?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. Yep, we helped him do that. Yeah. We were able to get that list for him. And what we did is we just found the exact numbers aren't significant. We went to like the 4 or 5 surrounding zip codes.
Right.
Again, he's a very small town, and he's in Grants Pass, Oregon. So, I mean, the whole city is one zip code.
Right.
And then there's 4 or 5 zip codes. So if you're
travel for like 30 miles to get to the guy's place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're in New York City, you're thinking, who the heck
like
is going to travel 30
block,
miles?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's all relative, right?
Sure.
So if you're San Francisco or New York City or LA, you know, shrink it. But, you know, so he's got 5 surrounding zip codes. It makes up the whole county, essentially. So we found those people. We did it based on they had moved out of the area. So this is another thing you can do if you get a new mover letter.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want the people who had just moved in and around the 5 zip codes because in theory they already know about us and they're not new to the area, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you moved, you know, from one side of the block to the other. You're not necessarily a new mover. We wanted them to move from outside the area.
Right.
And then we put an income flag on it. I think they had to be making over 40 or 50K,
mm-hmm.
Which in his neck of the woods is a lot. I mean, the average,
you
know, the average income in his area is probably 25-30 grand a year if they're lucky. So I mean, we were going to the top 60-80% in his area,
right?
Because he's not cheap, nor does he want to be cheap.
Right. Any health food is usually not the cheapest option. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that was about it. They had to move outside of the area. They had to meet a certain income requirement. And that was it.
Yeah.
And so we run this about every 6 months for them. Again, there's just not a lot of people that move in.
Right.
And so we get 300 to 500 people twice a year.
Wow.
Give or
that's a lot.
It is. You'd be, yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's. It's a decent size count. I mean, so that really is only 600 to 1,000 people a year.
Yeah, but for one mailing to get 500 people, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, and so this last iteration that we did is the last two now, the one we did last fall and the one we did now at the beginning of this year,
yeah,
we plussed it a little bit. So he actually has a really cool it's basically an 8-page testimonial booklet of all those, you know, like his 22 best customers telling them how great his stuff is.
Right.
So that was an 8-page full color, 8.5 by 11 brochure, you know, folded down. That went in there. We sent them a menu of the food. We sent them a cover letter. We sent them, and then we sent them an actual little coupon, right? A little, you know, picture 8.5 by 11 printed 3 up, cut in half, right? Mm-hmm, and then, so we sent them that whole package. Whole package probably cost them about $3.5 to $4 a
piece. That's it. Wow.
Yep.
Well, that's not it. Much compared.
You say that's it. You'd be surprised with some $3.5 a piece. You got to be kidding me. But,
I mean, for that's a lot of stuff for $3.5.
It was. We used pre-sort standard mail, so we got the postage rate way down. Which, by the way, if you're, you know, if you're doing any amount of direct mail and you're on this call, talk to a mail house, whether it's us or somebody else. They'll know things that you just don't know because you're not in the industry about how to get postage rates lower. And, you know, you're thinking of doing this. Maybe it's better to do this.
I mean, you do done for you, but some people order it and just send it themselves, you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, most of our clients do that. They
really?
Order. Yeah, they
I'm
order.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, so
there's That's really a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, though, growing up, I stuffed and mailed envelopes growing
That's
up.
That's what you did.
So, I mean, to hammer out 500 envelopes while you're watching a 2.5-hour movie on TV, you know, Saturday afternoon or something, no big deal, right? So, so to me, it's, you know, I personally don't do it anymore, obviously.
Let me give you an example. So, like, mine, I love mine, by the way. You guys did it. You know, view the X-ray film, and there's, like, multiple pieces in here that you'd have to just throw in here. You know, there's the actual X-ray and then the actual, like, prescription thing. So it's not, like, so... I don't know. It's time consuming, I think, but maybe
it is.
Not.
You know, it really, like a lot of things in marketing, if you have more time than money, then it's probably better off to do it yourself. If you have, you know, I don't know if anybody has more money than time, but if it's the other way around, you know, I'm all for paying for speed if I can.
Yeah.
If I can.
Yeah. What's been the most popular? So I want to talk about the most successful. Most campaign that you found, and then also the least successful, and so what we should learn from that. You know, if we had all day, what I would do, make you do, Travis, is I'd go through every single one of your products and have you tell me what was successful, which campaign was successful, because you have some cool stuff like the bank bag, the message in the bottle, the trash can. You have the shredded money, the pill bottle. I want to use the. I mean, I just want to use it just to see what happens. Like, I actually want to use the treasure chest at some point. You know, just seeing this gives me ideas. So, talk about what's one of the most successful campaigns someone's run with your service.
So, boy, I hate the first one that comes to mind. I hate to go back to it again. Is a dentist using a lost patient campaign.
Okay, so what did he do? Yeah,
they sent. So this one's a little unique.
Okay.
In that they weren't lost patients.
That's
they
okay.
They were people who had come. They had come from an. They had come for a fact of findings appointment, or didn't show up to their fact of findings appointment, and ultimately didn't buy.
Yeah.
So that's really your two tracks. They came, got the examination. The doctor gave them. The results, gave them the prescription, they didn't buy it, right? Or they were supposed to come to the appointment, didn't show up, now what do we do?
Yeah.
And so they do this every quarter, but the best one they've ever had, and they've done probably a half a dozen different ones that I've of my things,
right.
But these little worry dolls, and you can see them on the website, they're these little tiny dolls, they're maybe an inch tall, maybe
they
a quarter
like
of an inch
thick. They look like a
voodoo
doll, sort of.
Yes. But they're actually made in Guatemala. I buy them from an importer who is literally going down there every year to buy. I have no idea how many she buys. We buy tens of thousands, so I can only imagine
how many she's buying. Oh my gosh.
And what's cool about this, so they sent out these worry dolls, you know, dear Betty, I'm worried about you. You know, you were supposed to have you had an appointment with, what's his name? Dr. I'll think of it.
We'll call him Dr. Smith.
Yeah, Dr. Smith. I was going to try to give you his real name, but
we'll
it'll
call
come
up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you were supposed to have you had an appointment with Dr. Smith on August 5th about your fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And, you know, for whatever reason, you didn't go through and have the procedure.
Yeah.
Well, in order to keep a perfect smile and a happy mouth and yada, 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 you should come in and have this done. And so they sent out, and it's on my blog. If you go to the website and look at worry dolls, you'll see it there.
Yeah.
and I'll get, I won't get the numbers exactly right. They sent out something along the lines of 600 or so of these pieces.
Wow. Okay.
So they went back 18 months.
Yeah.
So every quarter they do this, and they go back the previous 18 months.
Got it.
So every quarter, new blood's coming in and new blood's going out.
Yeah.
sent out 600-ish pieces.
Yeah.
About a total cost of $2,000 total. So yeah. $1.85, $1.50, $1.75 a piece. They got, and I won't get the numbers exactly right, but they got something along the lines of 24 or 22 of those people to show back up,
mm-hmm.
book appointments, go through the procedure that was prescribed to them. They did over $100,000 over the next,
wow.
over that next quarter based on the people who got that mailing piece.
Yeah, because the lifetime value of someone who comes back is not just that next visit, but they may come back on their treatment plan or whatever the case is.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's a great one.
So that's a great one. We have an auto repair shop who's done,
yeah,
you know, the lost client stuff. Well, he did a lost client one. And that's, if there's anybody hesitant about using 3D mail at all, I would say, hey, get 100 boomerangs, find 100 people that have
already seen you,
and send it to them and just see what you get. That's what I suggest people do. But
he
did one there. Let me see if I can, I've got my notes here.
So yeah, go ahead.
Find one of maybe more of a colder one that we did.
Yeah, we'll do a warm one than a cold one. Yeah.
See if I can find
it. As you're doing that, I'm just going to look at the site. And, you know, one thing that I saw, which was cool, is you actually have kind of built in like three-step lost customer campaign. So you have like the compass, the boomerang, and the worry dial. And so there's kind of built-in campaigns within the products. So yeah, I encourage people to check that out just for if, you know, if you're not going to, just for ideas. I mean, you send socks out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's it's hilarious. But anyways.
So here's that one I was looking for.
Yeah,
so we have a guy, he's actually a manufacturer's rep for lighting company.
Okay.
So he's not employed. I mean, so he does all of his own marketing. I mean, he's just a rep. He does get some support from the home office, but essentially he's on his own to do his own marketing. Yeah. And so what he does is he goes around, and this is kind of tying everything we've talked about together. So it's a good example.
Yeah.
He goes and he so these are people he wants to put in new high-end LED lights and replace old incandescent or halogen lights, essentially, right? So
I need that guy.
Yeah.
So I need that guy.
Yeah, so he's targeting a couple different kinds of businesses. First off, just big spaces. So if you got a big warehouse that you need to keep lit, great example. That they're very good for them. Another great example is somebody who's, you know, Sherry's or Denny's that's open 24 hours a day and the lights never go off.
Right.
Thus, the savings are multiplied versus the guy who's in his, you know, versus the dentist who may only be there 10 hours a day.
Sure.
But Denny's is open 24. They always got to have the lights on.
Yeah.
And so what he does is he finds specific groups of businesses that he wants to target.
Yeah, he
so
knows he may his only exact target. Avatar, essentially.
You got it. Yeah. So he may only target, and he does this with the Yellow Pages. He does it just with some Google search. He just goes and finds, okay, I want to find 50 or 100 banks to target this month, or I want to target 50 or 100 restaurants, or I want to target 50 or 100 warehouse owners. And all he's doing is he's got, we wrote a three-step letter for him. He knows that all three steps are going to cost him to a list of 100 for him to get all three steps out the door. It's going to cost him about $700, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So $7 per head per all three steps.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that he's going to get 3 or 4 appointments out of that. He knows that he's going to get 1 or 2 closed business out of that. And now it just becomes a math game.
Yeah.
Right? I spent $700. If I get two or three appointments, if I get one of them, is that a positive ROI for me? If I get two of them, is that a positive ROI?
Right.
You know, so it's just
What's a typical customer worth to that business?
Boy, I don't know off the top of my head. The transaction for him, it's worth several thousand dollars to him. And then as far as, you know,
so it's well worth it if he spends $700 and he converts one person or two people, could mean, you know, $3,000 to $6,000 or something.
You're exactly right. And so And his whole play is, it's a great play, is they also then loan you the money to get the new lights, right? Well, the loan amount starting in month one is less than what you were paying, is less than the difference than in your power savings.
Right.
So you are literally cash positive.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
You're cash positive your second month.
I'm surprised it doesn't convert more.
you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at how many business owners put blinders on. And but he's following up with phone calls with a lot of them too. And he's out of Kansas City or St. Louis. I forget. He's somewhere in Missouri. So anyway, Titan LED are the lights he represents.
Doesn't
work for them, but
So what about that's been least successful? Maybe talk about some big mistakes you see people making.
Yeah,
even if you try and tell them not to do it.
The biggest thing that we see, a couple different things. First off, the biggest thing is if you're going to use 3D mail, not obviously and intentionally connecting the dots of why they got the thing that you sent.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if I'm going to send you a boomerang,
right.
again, because we've harped on the boomerang, so everyone's top of every. If I'm going to send you a boomerang, I can't just say, "Dear Tom, it's Dr. Smith. You haven't been in for an appointment. Call us."
I see.
You've got to say, as you can see, Dr. Smith has included a boomerang into this letter. Why has he done this? Well, it's because we last saw you on March 1st, and just like this boomerang, we'd love to have you come back into our office because we love to see your smiling face. Yada yada.
You tie it in.
So that's the biggest number one mistake I see is not tying the thing, not connecting the dots for them. Yeah. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just got to connect the dots.
Right, right.
And then the biggest mistake, and this goes for 3D mail or direct mail, is not giving enough thought about your mailing list. That is the number one thing that people have to come away with. If they get anything out of this call, if you're going to do direct mail of any kind, you've got to do a lot of thinking about your mailing list. Who's going to supply it for me? What's available out there?
Yeah.
If you think, I ask people, who's your ideal client? Well, anybody that can drive to my office between 35 and 55. No, that's not a mailing list. That's like the white pages, right? So, you know, think about who you are. Think about who that person is.
Yeah.
That's the second mistake, is not thinking about the list, giving it enough thought, not connecting the dots for your client. And then number three was just on the tip of my tongue. I guess underestimating what kind of effort it takes to actually test and measure and tweak and test, you know, the people who do the best in direct mail very rarely come out of the box swinging for the fences and getting a home run.
Yeah.
They did something. There was strikeouts and foul balls off the foot and hits into double plays. I mean, to steal baseball analogies. They tested and tweaked and tested and tweaked. Now, you can have success right off the bat, but just don't expect because I've got a bank bag mailer going out. I put 10 minutes of thought into my mailing list. This thing's gonna do me $1 million. It's just not the case. It, just like anything, it's gonna take some time. It's, you know, you can't set up a Google AdWords pay per click account in 10 minutes.
So Travis, talk about that. You know, because I know we have a few minutes left, and since it's Inspired Insider, I always like to ask, for you, what was that foul ball off your toe that didn't work? And then on the flip side, I want to hear about what was one of the proudest campaigns that you ran,
Boy, a foul ball. So I had worked, this was client work now. I had worked with a client, a financial planner out back east. And he had done your traditional kind of boring, you know, financial planner stuffy letters, right? That's what he had done for many, many years. And they did okay for him. And he came to me and hired me to write him a more, more Bill Glazer-esque, outrageous
edgier
advertising. And so we used little bags of shredded money. We put them in a clear envelope, and we used handwritten handwritten doodles all over it, and got away from the stuffy talk, and, you know, put his picture with him and his family in there, and talked about this was with when the gay and lesbian and DOMA laws were all changing last year. That's who we were targeting. And we thought we had this thing great. We had testimonials from a handful of people in their community.
Sounding good so far. Yeah.
It was
pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, I thought we had it. And I don't want to say it bombed, but it did not do well. And his old, stuffy, traditional, we've been in business for 5 billion years, and we
talking all about them.
And he beat it. And
why do you think that is? That's crazy.
I don't know. I think there was a little seasonality to it. I mean, it wasn't like I wrote this. We created this project for this client, and I had to like get him to do it kicking and screaming. It was like, wow, this is exactly cool. What we wanted.
Yeah.
This is exactly what we think is going to work.
Turning things on its head and trying something new.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now we're back to doing boring, stodgy, and it just works. And I wish I knew why, because I'd tell them, I'd say, let's get rid of the stuff that doesn't work and just do the stuff that does work.
Right.
Now, it did okay for them, but we basically came down to, can we beat the control?
Yeah.
And we didn't. And that was frustrating because everyone... I mean, the people that I bounce copy ideas off of thought it was great. My dad, a couple people in an inner circle that I keep with. The client who had done, they're not marketers, but they had done their research and knew what they wanted. And we really thought that was going to work. And boy, it just didn't work. And so I guess the value of that is test it.
Yeah.
And even if you think you're got like the greatest thing ever.
Right.
You still may end up stumped. And it sucks, but guess what? It happens to everybody. Babe Ruth struck out.
Right.
You know, my childhood hero, Ken Griffey Jr., struck out.
Yeah.
We're going to strike out.
So on the flip side,
mm-hmm.
One of the big home runs.
Which ones? I got my list here. Let me look at that real quick.
Yeah.
Let's see here. You know, the Kennedy ones are always good for us.
There's a National Enquirer one. I don't know if that's one of the
home runs. That one was good. That was one we did in-house.
Okay.
It was for our own use. I try to give things to people that I don't, that aren't my business, because it's the whole, of course you can do it. You're in that business.
Right. Yeah. So okay, go with the home run that's not, yeah.
So let's see here. This one was good for us. This is one of our very first clients ever when we got into this direct mail piece. And it wasn't even 3D mail.
Okay.
But it was a window washer. So, I mean, like, is one owner, two other guys, one truck. Like, this was, I mean, this is, you know, as far as being a contractor, it's about as small as you could get.
Right.
And he wanted an infusion of cash for the holidays.
Yeah.
So we created a three-step buy your wife the gift. It was a lot better than this as I listened to it in my head. Basically, buy your wife the gift of clean windows all year round for Christmas. Okay. And so what we basically did is we sent them a letter to his, I don't even remember what it was, 300 or 400 clients who had previously been in.
Yeah.
These things cost nothing. 65, 70 cents a piece to send out. So he's like $200 all in for this mailing.
Right.
And we essentially sold subscription-based window cleaning.
Mm.
You sign up for the whole year. We'll bill you. Sign up for 4 window cleanings for the whole year. We'll come once every quarter. The first, you know, we'll pre-schedule them, but we bill you every month. And what's great is, not only we're going to give you 4 cleanings, we're going to do it for the price of 3. Mm. So we're going to give you 3-4 cleanings for the whole year.
Yeah.
We're going to bill you every month, and then we're only going to bill you for the first 3 of them. And that did extremely, extremely well. He got about a dozen people to sign up for this thing out of a little tiny list. I mean, response rate was probably 8 or 12%, something like that.
Yeah.
Got his infusion of cash, got people. Some people paid all the whole year up front, which was fine with him, because then he got that cash infusion at the end of November. And we did it for a couple of reasons. One, it was one of our first clients, and we really wanted to see that, you know, let's do this. Let's see if we can test this and do this.
Right.
Number two, he was adamant that there is no way anyone would pay for what is mounted to subscription window cleaning.
Right.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And then we've since put in all different kinds of contractors into that similar model.
Yeah.
A roofer doing roof maintenance at a subscription model, essentially.
It's very smart.
Photographer doing subscription model photography.
Yeah.
That's a good one, because it just proved that you don't need a big list, and you don't need to be the 600-pound gorilla in your industry to do something unique and different and have your clients rave about it.
Yeah, yeah. Love that one, Travis. Travis, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. The interview would not be complete without a call to action. So people should definitely check out, you know, we're talking about direct response here, right? So 3dmailresults.com, 3dmailresults.com/or/book. I actually have the book, and I encourage anyone to go on the site just for get your creative juices flowing. Check it out. Any other places we should point people towards, Travis?
You know, the book is your best place. If you want to, if you want to see the stuff in action, I'll let a little bit out of the bag. We talked about follow-up. You're going to get this stuff in the mail.
Yeah.
So if you request the book, you'll see it in action. So
right.
In that regard, we put our money where our mouth is. So if you want to, if you want a lot of good inspiration, a lot of good ideas, and see it in action, get the book, and you'll get the book about 3 or 4 days after you request it. About a week later, you'll get another direct mail piece. About 2 weeks after that, you'll get another direct mail piece. So keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah, I use your stuff. My wife uses your stuff. It works. People open it. People will bring it back in and say they love it, and it's fun. And so I encourage people to check it out. So
awesome.
Thanks, Travis, so much.
Thank
really
you so
appreciate
much.
It. It's been great.
What I got, you can't buy. It resides between my eyes. Walked through the fire, came out better on the other side. See, life's like a beach if you find the sand. And right now, I'm feeling like 100 grand.